I'm going to lead off by apologizing, and that's those of you that have been wondering how come I don't have my podcast on yet and been sitting on the edge of your seats waiting, because I know I'm a couple hours late, but not really that. What I need to apologize for is my voice. I don't have an awful lot now, and I'm sure that I'll have less before I get done. You've probably seen or heard, I should say, over the past few weeks that it's been kind of going. Well, it's by the mid-afternoon, it's pretty much gone. So I'm doing this in the morning, so hopefully it will last until I get done anyways. But so Thanksgiving is here, 2 days from today. Turkey, love turkey. Football, yeah, there should be some good games on. Gravy and mashed potatoes, oh yeah, real potatoes, not out of the box, real potatoes. Dressing or stuffing, for us it's dressing because we don't stuff it in the turkey. Football, did I mention football? Pumpkin pie, and my wife's making an apple pie right now. And the most important ingredient is family. Excuse me. We're going down to our sons in Fort Worth, and our son here in Oklahoma is going down also. So yes, there will be more than 10 of us. Please do not contact the authorities and have them come looking for us. Maybe little ones don't count. I'm not sure if what the 10 needs to be. If that's over a certain age or total. But Thanksgiving is one of the most traveled days of the year. I was hearing on the news this morning that automobile traffic or road traffic, whatever, it should be about 95% of last year, which really surprised. Air travel is down and is like 65 or 70% of last year because a lot of people just don't want to be in a metal tube with recirculated air with a bunch of people that they don't know. But I know it's going to be different. I know some families that aren't meeting. And that's too bad or whatever. But just kind of try to stay out of a state that you won't be quarantined for 14 days if you can. And you know, you're supposed to wear your mask in between bites, and you need six feet apart in the outside. Now, in Fort Worth, it's supposed to be in the low 70s on Thursday, so that wouldn't be too bad. And it can't last more than 2 hours, but we're going to be there for 2 or 3 days. And if you're only going to be there for 2 hours, you can't even watch a whole football game together. What's up with that? It really stinks. But the most important part is, well, really the most important part, even more than mashed potatoes and gravy and dressing and turkey and football and pie, is don't forget that you need to be thankful for what you have. If you have a whole bunch, you need to be extra thankful. If you have not much, you still need to be thankful for what you do have, because the Lord blesses us all in different ways. Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks that you show your blessings to us in so many different ways. And Lord, sometimes the material things can get to be too important to us. And we think that's all we need to really give thanks for. But Lord, that's certainly not true. Because Father, we need to be thankful for our health, for our families, and for our friends, those that are close to us, those we love. And so, Father, let's not forget them. But the number one most important thing we need to be thankful for is you sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. So, Father, help us to not forget that, and help us to not share that. So, Lord, as we look at your word today, Father, help us to see just what it is that you've got for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. I want to start this message with a psalm that's one of my favorites. It was also a favorite of a lady that lived in one of the towns where we served. So this goes back maybe close to 30 years ago, upper 20s anyways. Angie, she was in her late 90s when she passed. She'd never been married, didn't have much of a family at all. She was very, very hard of hearing. And she lived just kind of around the corner from where we were. And so one day I was walking up to see her, and I had just turned the corner, and you could hear her radio because of her hearing problem. She had that baby cranked up. And so in order to get in the house, you know, you just pound on the door as loud as you can, but then really just needed to walk in. But she lived in the house that she'd been born in. And she had just come out of the hospital, been in just a short time. Apparently it wasn't a huge deal, I don't know. But she said they wanted to send me to a nursing home. And she told me which one. And I said, well, you know, I've been there. That's a nice place. And she said, oh, really? She said, you ever see anybody come out of there alive? And I didn't have an answer for her because what she was saying is true. I mean, there's places where some people go for rehab, but a nursing home, people pretty much go there to die, unfortunately. But the psalm that she loved was Psalm 100. And I thought that was kind of funny because the first word of the psalm is shout. And that's what you had to do with Angie. You had to shout to her. But apparently this psalm shouted to her as well. So let me give it to you from the New Living Translation. It says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. In that short five verses, there are 16 references to God and what God is doing, what God has done, and how we need to be praising him, worshiping him, and just giving thanks to him. And so many of the ways that it told us in relating to God was joy, worship, gladness, singing, thanksgiving, praise, thanks. In verses 1 and 2 in the message, I really like this. It says, on your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into his presence. Wow, isn't that great? Does that sound like the way you enter the place where you worship? I've been in and served some churches where that was the opposite of the way people came into worship. Every service seemed like a funeral service for a non-believer. God wants his children to gather and worship, but he wants us to sound like we're glad about it, not like we're all baptized in dill pickle juice. Okay? I mean, I'm excited about going to worship. I was excited about going to worship when I was a pastor. You know, to me, that was the highlight of the week, was the worship service. But God sounds like he wants us to be really glad about it. Okay, not like it was something that we dreaded and did not look forward to. You know, when I get to worship, I can't wait until the praise band is going to come out and we start singing praise songs, worshiping the Lord in song. Okay, there's two key words that are found in verse 4, thanksgiving and thanks. And those are words for this message, as you can guess by the title of the message. Excuse me, I apologize. Okay, so when I wanted to search the scriptures for thanks, thankful, thanksgiving, you know, that was easy to find, okay? You could do a five-part series on this, but we're just doing a 30-minute message or however long. But most of us could write pages and pages of what we're thankful for, or at least we should be thankful for. You know, if we really look at our lives and we see how the Lord has blessed us, you know, there should be no end to the thanks that we give to the Lord. You know, I've said before, believers should be thankful every day. Okay, not just, you know, one day, the fourth Thursday in November. Okay, it's something that we need to be thankful every stinking day for, because God has done so much for us. When I was going to seminary, for some reason, they thought each class needed to have a chaplain. You have all these pastors that were serving full-time or part-time in churches, and they thought we needed a chaplain. But anyways, this man, James Diggs, was a older black man, had a small church in Maryland, and he was our chaplain, and he would lead us in prayer. And it was just great. I mean, we would pray in the morning before we'd start classes, and you know, his prayer was just, you know, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my health. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to get out of bed this morning and being able to get my clothes on and being able to stand up and being able to brush my teeth and the breakfast that you gave me, and just, you know, over and over, thank you for everything. And that's the way our lives need to be every day. Okay, and so, you know, this is a great time of year for everyone, excuse me, to sit down and make a list of the things that we're thankful for. You know, some families at Thanksgiving have everyone tell of their thanks. You know, I don't think we've ever done that. I think it's a great idea because it makes you think and it makes you realize, you know, what you're thankful for. And so maybe I'll get our family to do that this year. And, you know, tell them, you know, you don't just say, you know, I'm thankful for family, you know, duh. You know, most people are. Everybody isn't, but most people are thankful for family. Well, why are you thankful for family? You know, is there one particular person or couple or whatever that you're thankful for in the family? And so maybe we need to do that. I'll give them some warning ahead of time that that's what we're going to do. So we'll do it because of the number of us before everything gets dished up and put on the table and gets cold by the time we get to it. But doing something like that makes you think, makes you realize. Now, like verse 3 tells us in the King James, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. You know, a lot of people like to take credit for who they are and what they become. You know, and they forget that, you know, you've become a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, an auto mechanic, you know, a CEO or whatever, because of the gifts and talents that the Lord's given you. You know, that's not just something you conjured up on yourself. You know, that's something that you've been given by the Lord. So, you know, no other religion can say this, because they have gods that they've made, something that they've constructed with their own hands, their own minds. But our God, the Lord of heaven and earth, the Father of creation, who has always been, that there was never a time without God, and he created us from dust, we have so much to be thankful for. Come on, folks. Give thanks to the Lord. Well, moving on to Psalm 69, this is a David psalm, and he tells us in verses 30 to 33, this is the NIV. It says, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hooves. The poor will see and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts be alive. The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people. Okay? David says, God wants our praise more than a bull, more than an offering, more than a tithe, more than giving of our time, more than serving, more than anything. He wants our praise. Why? Because God loves obedience. He loves to give us, you know, he loves for us to give our offerings and our tithes, but hearing the praise of his children, that's something that he loves even more than that. Now, I like how Psalm 107 begins. Okay, there's no author's name put to this, but it says in the NIV, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands from the east and west, from north and south." Now, how do those verses relate to us? Okay, the first verse is obvious. Okay, God's unending love. It's constant, it's consistent. Okay, but the redeemed of the Lord, okay, where it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story." Some translations, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Okay, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? Well, if that's true, then duh, you are the redeemed. So tell your story, like the psalmist said. Okay, he says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story," or "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Okay, and that's what we're expected to do. Okay, the message in verse 2, it says, "All of you set free by God, tell the world. Tell how he freed you from oppression." Hey, to tell the world. You know, most Christians will never tell anyone. Okay, 64% of Christians feel that evangelism is optional. Okay, 97% of Christians feel that that's the job of the pastor or missionaries or the deacons or, you know, the leaders of the church. It's not my job. You know, my job is to show up on Sunday morning and, you know, bring my offering and sing and say amen once in a while if we're allowed to do that in our church. And then, you know, go home. That's for me. You know, I'm not supposed to be doing that evangelism stuff. You know, one charge that we served when we were in Maryland wanted people to go out one night in twos to pass out a flyer inviting people to church. Okay, I was serving three churches at the time. And so on the flyer, I had each church, had the location, had the worship times, had, you know, when they had Sunday school and everything on, you know, not to evangelize, you know, just invite, just to go knock on the door of somebody that, you know, to their knowledge didn't go to church anywhere, or at least didn't go to our church. And just hand them a flyer and say, you know, "I'd like to invite you to whatever church or, you know, one of these other churches on here, whatever time maybe suits you best." Okay, the first time we did that, there was, I think, three people that showed up besides Diane, my wife, and our son, Ben. The second time we did it, nobody showed up. It was just Diane, Ben, and I. Okay, out of about 200 members of these three churches, approximately 100 people that attended church on a regular basis. Huh. That's a great way to say thank you to the Lord, isn't it? All right, let me move backwards in Psalms. Just one chapter, to 106, verse 1 in the Passion Translation. It says, "Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Everyone, thank God, for he is good and easy to please. Your tender love for us, Lord, continues on forever." Okay. I'm not sure where the translator, Brian Simmons, I believe his name is, of the Passion Translation, where he got the "he is good and easy to please." Okay, the "he is good" part, you know, that's understandable. But the "easy to please," I'm not sure. Maybe knowing that if we follow what we believe God wants us to do, it will be pleasing to him. That's the only thing that I can think of. Okay, but I know as a father, I'm pleased when my children do what's expected of them, when they follow what they know is right. And I can only imagine that my Heavenly Father feels the same way when he looks at me, you, whoever, and sees, you know, okay, this is a plan I've given them. You know, hey, they're following this right along. That's good. That really pleases me. And, you know, that's how easy it is to please God, to just do what he's been asking you to do. So let's look at one more psalm. This is another David psalm, 28, verses 6 and 7. And this is from the New Living Translation. Excuse me. Praise the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. I will trust him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. These two verses say a lot to me, because I could have written them. You know, maybe you could have written them. So many times I've gone to the Lord for needs for myself, for our family, for church members, for strangers. I've gone to the Lord in prayer in homes, my home, excuse me, the home of someone else, hospitals, parking lots, funeral homes, churches, stores, you know, wherever. And I know that he heard my cry for mercy. Excuse me. God never gives us, I've heard this before. You know, you prayed about this last week. And there's, you know, 72 other people that are praying about this. So, you know, why don't you come back later? You know, I'm really kind of busy right now, you know, or I've never gone to God and have him say, wow, you want that? That is really something. That's really difficult. I don't think I can do that. Never happened. Never going to happen. Okay, sometimes it's, now is not the time. Okay, I'm going to answer your prayer, and kind of in the way that you're praying, you know, not completely, but kind of that way, but not today, okay? Not right now, because not right now, you know, I mean, it's not the time for right now. Or sometimes it's, you know, you're asking me for baloney, and, you know, I'm not going to give you baloney. I'm going to give Wagyu steak for you, okay? I never knew anything about Wagyu steak or Wagyu beef until a couple weeks ago. It can go for like $200 a pound. Guess I'll never try that, unless you're buying. But God is saying, you know, don't ask me for, you know, something piddly when I've got something great for you. Okay, ask for my will. Okay, you know, when I give you my will, then that's what you need. You know, you don't need this half in between someplace. You need the great thing that I've got for you. Now, the word mercy is tekenun, which means an earnest prayer or a pleading. The King James uses the word supplications instead of mercies. Okay, it's not a, you know, hey, Lord, can you maybe help me out sometime? You know, if you're not too busy, you know, I know you've got all these big things going on. But, you know, Lord, if maybe you get the chance, maybe see if you can help me out in this situation. It's not that kind of prayer. It's more of a, help, Lord, you know, I'm about to die here kind of prayer. You know, in verse 7, David tells us, you are my strength and shield. Now, this is something that David knew an awful lot about. Now, it's believed that David wrote this psalm after being delivered from enemies again. Okay? And you can see why the message ends verse 7 like this. Now I'm jumping for joy and shouting and singing my thanks to him. That's what we need to be doing. Okay? That's a great way to say thank you to the Lord. So let's move on to a few passages from the New Testament. Okay, and two of the shortest verses in the Bible, and one more on the end. Okay, you may be trying to think where that is. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Verse 16 says, always be joyful. Verse 17, never stop praying. Verse 18, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Okay, two important things to note in this passage is at the end, he says, this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Okay, Paul is telling the Thessalonians this. This word is for believers only. Okay, this isn't for the non-believers. This isn't for those that, you know, believe in some other God of some kind. This is for believers. Okay, because these things apply to your relationship with the Lord, not anybody else. And prior to this, Paul had been writing to them about how the church should be, how believers should be living their lives. So the second thing, it's an important thing, is it says be thankful in all things. Okay? In all things. Not for all things. And that's where some people get confused. I'm supposed to be thankful for this? No, that's not what God says. God says continue to give him thanks even though you're in this, whatever this is. Because nobody thanks God for cancer or death of a loved one. Maybe sometimes, I don't want to say we thank God for a loved one dying, but when it looks like there's no cure, there's no help, and that, you know, I mean, there is if God says there is, but, you know, humanly speaking, you know, you've watched this loved one suffer for weeks or maybe years. And so when their death comes, it's you still feel bad, you know, because they're gone. But you thank the Lord that their suffering is over. And so maybe in that situation, you might thank the Lord for the death of a loved one. You don't thank God when you're being abused. You don't thank God when, you know, you can't pay your bills. You know, your vehicle has been repossessed. You know, when they're going to foreclose on your house. You don't thank God for war. You don't thank God for sickness. But to be honest, it's difficult to be thankful in those situations. You know, when those circumstances are coming at you, it's kind of hard to be thankful. Not for the situation, but for everything else. So those are the times that we have to make a concentrated effort to give thanks. You know, it's like, Lord, you know, I know my job's over. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. You know, we got all these bills and we were just barely paying them before. And now, you know, a company's moved. I've been laid off, you know, whatever. And so, Lord, I'm really not sure what I'm going to do, but I give you thanks that I know that you're going to be with me through this, that you're going to meet the needs that I have. You know, even though our son, our daughter's in jail, and, you know, they should be. They broke the law. They know they did something wrong. And so that's where they really should be because of what they've done. And so, Lord, just be with them. I give you thanks for that child. I give you thanks that maybe this is a time that they can turn their life around. I give you thanks that maybe they'll see, you know, living with these other people that have done the same or worse of things than they have, that's not where they want to spend the rest of their life, that this is going to be a wake-up call for them. I just give you thanks for that. So it's a choice to give the Lord thanks. And Jesus' brother, James, gives us some real wisdom in chapter 1. It starts right out like this in the NIV, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face many kinds of trials of many kinds. Really? I mean, are you serious? I'm supposed to be considering that joy? You know, I've got all this stuff going on in my life. I'm supposed to be joyful about this? Yeah, because you have to go on. Because as the scripture goes on, it says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Ah, okay. Now I kind of get it. Okay, that even though I'm going through trials and testing, temptations, excuse me, James goes on through the chapter speaking of the trials and temptations that he refers to. And then he gives us verses 16 to 18. He says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Let me tell you, God knows exactly what he's doing. Okay? Everything was planned out before creation. Your life, your church, your family, your job, the world, God had it all planned out. Okay, it says every good gift. Okay, what that means is every gift that is beneficial. And every perfect gift, that means a gift that is complete. It's going to be what you need. Okay, it's what's going to benefit you. It's what's going to benefit your family, your church, your friend, that stranger, whoever. The good and perfect gift, you know, is going to benefit the believer. And will be just what's needed at just the right time. Okay, but listen to this. God is not bound by time, but he is a God of great timing. Okay? God is not bound by time, but he is a God of great timing. His good and perfect gifts are always right on time. Last scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. I'm sure you're familiar with it. New Living Translation, give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul seems to kind of contradict his statement in 1 Thessalonians where he says, be thankful in all circumstances. And now this is saying to give thanks for everything. Here's my thought. Okay, could be right on, could be miles away. Okay, my thought is this. When we're going through a difficult situation, whatever it is, okay, we're going through this difficult situation, you know, we don't really feel like giving God thanks for it, okay? When we're going through a divorce, it's not, oh, Lord, thank you that my spouse was unfaithful to me. You know, thank you, Lord, that, you know, I have this addiction. Thank you, Lord, that the doctor just told me I have incurable cancer. You know, not going to happen, okay? But often, not always, once we're on the other side, we can look back and see the good that there may have been in it. And if we allowed it, we can see the growth in ourselves because of what we endured. Okay, God doesn't have us go through difficult situations for no reason at all. Okay, God allows us to go through those terrible circumstances for a purpose. Okay, many times so you can be stronger, so you can help somebody else that's weaker that's going through that same situation. So we need to be able to say, thank you, Lord, for getting me through that divorce. You know, I saw it coming, you know, and I've known for a long time that my spouse was being unfaithful. You know, I just didn't want to admit it, you know, and I'm really better off. And so is my ex-spouse better off, you know, because we're no longer together. And so, you know, just thank you for getting me through that. You know, thank you that the chemo and the radiation did what they needed to do, and that the doctors were able to do surgery. And, you know, I'm going to live to see my grandchildren. That's how I think Paul is encouraging the Ephesians. What a great way to say thank you to the Lord. I'd chosen a song that I wanted to use, and then by the time I got done with the message, I thought, yeah, it really doesn't fit. So I'm going to give you a song that I know I've used before. And, you know, if you've been into any form of contemporary worship over the last 30 years, you've probably heard it or sung it maybe hundreds of times. The song goes like this. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Let's pray. Father, we have so much to be thankful for. And Lord, I know as believers, we've been through a lot in 2020. People have passed away from this disease or other related diseases. People have lost jobs. People have lost businesses. People have lost homes and cars. People have had to completely change their lives. But Lord, I know that You've been with us through it all. And Lord, some people are still in the midst of whatever that situation is. So Lord, help us to be thankful. If we're in that situation, to not be thankful for that situation now. If we've come through it, Lord, to look back and say, yeah, I can see all the benefits of that. I can see how You were there, Lord. I can see how You have made me stronger. And if you really mean it, say, Lord, show me somebody that I can help that's going through the same thing that I went through. And Lord, I lift up anyone that maybe happened on this, doesn't know why, but I'll tell you why, because God wanted you to. Okay, you're not listening to this by accident. You're not listening to this because, you know, you just happened to find it. God put you here to hear the message that He has for you. And that message is, you've got a lot to be thankful for as well. And so, you wonder, you know, how can I be thankful for this? I mean, what's there to be thankful for? You know, what is it that I need to give thanks for? Look at your life. And it may not be as good as your neighbor's life, as good as your sibling's life. It may not be as good as your coworker's life. But it's the life that God's given you. And He wants you to make the most of it, make the best of it. And the only way you can really do that is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So this is what you need to do. You need to realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He had never committed a sin in his 30-some years. So He went to the cross for your sins. And He died there. But 3 days later, Easter morning, He rose from the dead. He met with His disciples and He said, I'm coming back. I don't know when. My Father knows, but I don't know when. So you need to be ready. And you need to get other people ready as well. And so that's what's been happening over the last almost 2,000 years. People have heard messages from the pulpit on the street corner, now online, and they've said, you know, that's what I need in my life. My life, integratus. You know, maybe your life is really, really messed up. Or maybe your life really isn't all that bad. And if that's true, you have that much more to be thankful for. So you need to pray a prayer like this. Dear Father, thank You for sending Your Son, that He died for my sins, that I can have eternal life in heaven with you. Lord, help me to turn my life around. Lead me in the ways that I need to go, that I can be the person that you need me to be. Lord, I know that's not going to happen overnight. So, Lord, be patient with me as I grow closer to you. I give you my life. Thank you for the life that I've received. In Jesus' name, amen.